Have you ever looked back at your life and saw that had you chosen just one thing at a certain time, it would have altered your whole life?
Yes.
I've been thinking about that, not for a message, but I've looked back and saw that I wouldn't be here tonight if I had made this one decision when I was about 17. I desire your prayers tonight. Both Brother Dan and Brother Doug have allowed me to continue this thought the last few Sunday nights, and this makes the sixth one. I feel like that maybe this is the last one, and feel like that I have a heavy burden on my heart. I feel like I don't hardly know how to express it, but I'm leaning on the Lord to give us right words. And where our words fail, I am trusting that the Holy Spirit will convert it into your own language.
Yes.
And I know He can do that.
Yes.
And I'm trusting that the few thoughts that have been given in the last five messages, that the Lord can some way put those together, and that it can be a benefit and a profit to us at this age. I don't understand why the Lord inspired it for this time, but that's not my business. So I want to continue with the thought tonight, and we're going to speak concerning the group that represents God's chosen people, which in this morning's message was those that had the good soil, that loved the word and heard the word, that followed the Lamb. We didn't say those words, but that's what it means. So we're going to talk about God's chosen. We're going to speak about the ones that are called saints, saints of God. We're going to refer to the wise virgins, the true wheat, the sheep of the true shepherd. These are all examples or representations of God's church, the church of God. To be a saint is a very high calling. And the scripture says in one place, it says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. It says it's in Christ Jesus. And we need a vision tonight that we will have to press.
Yes.
One scripture says that up until John the Baptist, can't quote that scripture, somebody might have that in their heart, but now we're pressing into it.
Yes.
You and I are going to have to be violent with our own soul to make heaven. It's not going to happen just slipping in.
No.
You're going to have to be very serious about being a saint of God in this time, in this age. And so when I thought of that there was a high calling, I had to think of the high price that was paid for you and me to even be called the sons of God. Jesus gave His all. God gave His all. He gave His best. We're very familiar with the scripture that says that God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but we will have eternal life. Thank the Lord. As I think about this calling, if you will, being called to be a saint, the scripture says that in more than one place, that you and I are called to be saints of God in the earth, not over there. We don't wait to die to be called a saint. We're called to be saints right here. When I think of what we are called to, we are called from, we're called out, we are called to live above the world. It's a high calling. You and I are called to represent Christ. We hear the term that has become very loosely spoken and used, is Christian. People will call themselves a Christian when they still are committing sin. This is in our world. God's calling you and me to be a true Christian. To be Christ-like. He is calling you and me by his word to live a holy life. He said for you and me to be holy, even as he was holy. We are called to grace. We are called to avail ourselves of the grace of God. And we know that the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching something, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So we have a calling. There's a song that we have heard, and whoever wrote it, I believe they wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The reason I feel that way personally is because it speaks to me personally. Whenever I have heard it sung as a special, and we've heard it here. And it's a song that says, called out. It says, we've been called out. I have the chorus here. For a purpose. We are not called out haphazardly. We have a calling that is in each of our lives for a purpose. It says we're called out to be a servant, called out to lift a standard. Are you afraid to lift up a standard? Are you afraid someone is going to judge you? We're called to lift up a standard. We're called out to raise a banner. We don't have our own agenda, do we? No. We're called out to raise the banner of the Lord. We're called out to be a witness. Jesus said, ye are my witnesses. He said, before he returned, he said, I want you to go into all of the world and preach the gospel. Well, our world is where you live, where I live. We may not ever go any farther than our community. But we're called to be a witness. And we're called to show forgiveness. Seems a little bit odd that the writer here was putting all of these other things that And then he inserts, why do you suppose that is? Because one can appear to be godly and hold unforgiveness secretly. And we're called, saints, we're called to forgiveness. Not only do we want God to forgive us, but we want to have a forgiving heart, a forgiving attitude, a forgiving mind. Because the scripture simply says, if I do not forgive, I will not be forgiven. It says, we are called from the world. Child, you've been called out. Very impressive song to me. Well, we had a message on the plumb line. I want to just speak just a little bit about the plumb line, what the scripture says about the plumb line. It says that it was, and I'm going to say is, it was, and it is. It set in the midst of my people, his people. That's the measurement. That's the measurement of judgment. He also said that he would not pass by anymore. In other words, the word of the Lord has been given. And God said, I am a God that changes not. All of this is familiar with you. But this plumb line is the measurement where judgment dwells. We judge everything according to the word of God, according to the plumb line. That's where we find understanding from the message this morning, from the different groups that were presented. Some just simply said, I don't understand, because they didn't want to understand. But if you and I want to understand judgment, if we want to understand what the plumb line stands for, God will reveal it. He says in his word that we are to teach the difference between some things, the difference between the holy and the profane. They don't mix. We need to teach the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. They don't mix. The first message we had was concerning the division of day and night and light and darkness, and it carried over throughout the whole word of God. There is a difference between darkness and light. And there is a difference between the clean and the unclean, and we must not let that all fall to the ground. Not for the next generation. We must be faithful to the next generation. The scripture says that if we fail to pass the truth, the blood will be on our hands. We'll be responsible. I find that very fearful. So I want to say a few things about the one that is in this category that represents the church of God, God's people. There is a portion of a scripture in Luke 12 and 48, and it says, whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now, what that says to me is that because I do have light and understanding, and it came little by little, I'm so thankful for how the Lord works, how he's worked in my life. We can say, oh, well, I was born in this church. My grandparents were part of this. We can run our heritage, and that doesn't mean a thing. unless we get a hold of God for ourselves, unless we get the understanding and light for ourselves. And there came a point in my life I wanted that for myself. And I think it's right. We don't go on somebody's coattail or try to claim any kind of name, see. But we are seeking it for ourselves. And so little by little, he began to lead me and teach me and guide me and instruct me and correct me. He did it all. He was a faithful God, and he's not finished yet. He won't be finished with me until I leave this world, because that's his faithfulness. And he won't be finished with you if you will lent him. You'll have to lent the Lord temper you and shape you and mold you and fashion you. You'll have to lent him do it. You'll have to ask him to. You'll have to ask him to search me. See if there is any wicked way in me. He'll do that. And he will deal as tenderly with you as he possibly can. I have found it to be true. So he didn't just pour it all on me. He just did it line upon line and precept upon precept. And he did it here a little and there a little. He allowed me to grow in him. And he's wanting his people to grow in him. To grow up. Thank the Lord. This morning we spoke of three categories of people. And we may speak a little more on that. Could be more. But it's the three that seems to be impressed upon my mind. There are people in maybe the whole world that are actually walking in back of light. They once had light. They turned their back on light. And so that term is in the word that says they're walking in back of light. The scripture plainly says, for you and me and for all to walk in the light, while we have the light, lest darkness comes upon us. So when one turns their back on light, on this understanding, when understanding becomes darkness, when understanding becomes not understanding, something happens. And they begin to walk away from the light. And something happens in that person's life, because there is an enemy of their soul that is ready to snatch and to destroy and to devour. What knowledge that they did have, he'll take it away. And something takes its place. And while we may refer to it as darkness, it is also called deception. It is called blindness, spiritual blindness. Oh, I don't want to be spiritually blind. What an awful thing to lose the vision that you have, literally, but it is so much worse to lose it spiritually. Yes. A clear spiritual vision is so valuable. Hold on to it. And hold on to it tightly. Value it. Don't allow the enemy to come in and begin to cloud your vision. So the first category was those that are walking in back of light or away from light. I'd like to tell this little account. Sister Catherine, sister that was a real blessing to me in my calling and in my ministry. She was my mentor. And she was going blind physically. And I would go over and help her and take her food and do things for her. And I knew she was going blind, but she said that the Lord spoke to her that she would not go blind. And she believed it, and she would not claim it, even though she couldn't see. Well, one day I was there, and AT&T called, and I answered the phone, and they were offering caller ID. And I said, she doesn't need caller ID because she's blind. And oh my, she got on to me when I got off the phone. I'm not blind. God said I would not be blind. Well, it came down to the point that she had to go to the nursing home. And one day she called me to come. And I never saw her really in despair except that one time. And she said, "Maxine, I am blind." She admitted it. Just as she said it, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and the Spirit of the Lord said, "I meant that she would not be blind spiritually." And when I said it to her, she threw her hands up in the air, and she shouted, and she accepted it. Oh, I want to tell you, saints, if we become blind spiritually, we're... What can I say? Lord, help us. The second category was those that are coming to the light. There are people all around us. God is the judge. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
You know, we say this. We say it about people that die, and we don't really know what they're, where they stood before the Lord. We didn't know. But I can assure you, God knows.
Yes.
For every soul, and we have said it. We said, well, we know he's in the hands of a just God. Well, I want to tell you, God is a just God to the living as well. And the scripture says, and this is one of my favorite verses, because it says that this is the seal of the Lord, that he knoweth every one that belongeth to him. So he knows. I don't really have to know, but God knows. And so there are people out there, people among us, that are honest in heart. Remember this morning, that was one of the characteristics of those with the good ground. They were honest with themselves. Well, there are people that are coming to the light, and they will be more justified by coming toward the light than those who once had light and walk in back of it. Do you believe that? That's how they will be judged. If they're coming to it, the scripture says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. So little by little, they're coming to the light. And I can leave those individuals with the Lord. I can trust him to know how to work with them. I don't have to be the judge. And then we have the third category of people, of those that are simply following the Lord and walking in the light. Love light. Love the truth. Love the way. Love the church. Love the church of God. Be happy that you are here. Not necessarily in this building. Be happy that you know of the truth. You could have been out there, I said in the beginning, one decision that you made when you were young could have altered your whole life. I could have been a Catholic. I could have been a Catholic. If you're interested in knowing how that, I might tell you later. But I thank the Lord that he blocked it. I thank the Lord that he turned my feet from a road of destruction. And he pointed me in the right direction. But let me tell you, I didn't look like it. On the outside, I didn't look like it. I want to talk to you now just a little bit about a responsible generation. When you and I accept light, when we embrace the truth, it changes us. You're not going to be the same. You're going to have a different opinion of the church, of the saints. You're going to love the saints. You'll love the truth. But what it does, it makes us very responsible. We will be responsible in various ways. I wouldn't be able to give it all tonight. I hope I can give enough that will whet your appetite. But you will be responsible to be an example of the believers. Not just any example. There's many examples. But the bottom line of this scripture says, being an example of the believers, of those that are following the Lord, those that are embracing true salvation and sanctification and not drawing back. We'll be responsible to be a light in the world. And we know the scripture. A city that is set on a hill. We're living in a dark time. It's not very often that someone will ask if you have salvation. Has anyone this week been asked that in the public? Not very many people are interested. They might say something else. They might be attracted to your appearance. Did you know appearance is very important? If you and I dress like the world, if we fit in with the world, how will anyone know except it come from our mouth? I'm telling you that we need more than just mouth words. We need to be able to show forth a spirit. But on the other hand, I need a spirit that is working in me that shines out in spite of my appearance. I need a good spirit. If I have that unforgiveness in my heart and I'm dressed exactly like I need to be dressed, what good is it? I believe the Lord is calling for us to have a responsibility of having a heart that is filled with the light of God in spite of my appearance. And when I say in spite of, anyone can dress in a modest fashion and still have an ugly spirit. Keep that in your minds. We don't excuse that. On the other hand, we don't excuse those that dress ungodly and may be just as sweet and precious in their spirit. There's a balance here. God is calling for his people to be holy inside and outside. So we have some responsibilities and we bear a responsibility. Each of us, we bear a responsibility to our families. Our children. We bear a responsibility to the church. And you bear a responsibility to the world. We all do. We must bear a responsibility to the lost. Don't ever forget, except for God's grace, there you are. You could be the same, see? So I'm going to a scripture now, 1 Timothy 3:15. The latter part of that one says, the Lord gave this scripture to me. I was in a funeral this week, and my mind was taking in a lot of what I was seeing at that funeral. And the Lord began to give me a lot of these thoughts right there in that funeral. And I started writing some notes down on the little program, and my brother was sitting next to me, and he was thinking I was taking notes of the funeral. We never know when the Spirit of the Lord is going to open our eyes to something in a setting like that, even. But this scripture was brought to my mind, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I just wanted to include that. That's part of that verse. But oh, it speaks volumes what the church is. And you and I need to have wisdom and understanding how to behave ourselves at all times. The latter part of our thoughts tonight has to do with what I called the marks of a true child of God. And there are so many, they couldn't be given tonight. But I hope that we can get a little glimpse and get some understanding. But there is a scripture in Galatians 6 and 10, just a little part, familiar to us. But it says, let us do good unto all men. I believe that's part of the marks of being a true child of God, that we will not show partiality. It goes on and it says, especially to the household of faith. And I understand what that means. But I want us to feel the responsibility tonight to all men, wherever we are. The little song that Sister Julie was teaching the little children this morning about a smile and a frown. You know, it doesn't cost us anything to smile. We can put on a frown and not even realize it. I have felt it on my face. I have felt my brow furrowed. And I remember one time not even realizing I was frowning, or at least a furrowed brow, and somebody among us walked up and said, "What is the matter?" And I wasn't even thinking. But it brought it to my mind that I need to be conscious of how I appear to others. The Lord is desiring His people to be a glad people, a people that is thankful for the salvation, thankful for the precious dealings, even in our dark times. He's there. It should make us glad. Oh, I think the Lord is calling for us to be a smile to those we meet out there. I have found that when I practice that, going to the store, I get a response. Have you ever noticed it? And it may be my age. I find men opening the door for me. And it embarrasses me somewhat, because I'm fully capable of opening the door myself. But there's something there that causes a reaction. And I believe that the Lord is saying, show forth gladness when you're out in public. Don't put a frown and a furrowed brow. Cast all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I may not be able to give you all the scriptures where these are found, but I'm going to quote them to you for the sake of time. There's a scripture that says for us to love without dissimulation. Well, that seems like a very big word, and I was not familiar with it. The scripture came to my mind. Hadn't even thought of it. So I get my dictionary and look it up, and you know what? It simply means don't love with pretense. Don't love with your mouth, but not your deeds. That's pretense. The mark of a true saint of God is one that has the love right down burning in their hearts for all. And then, of course, part of another foundational scripture simply says, love as brethren. It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Don't even stop and say, well, who is my neighbor, like they did? Say, Lord, help me. Fill my heart with your love. We may not always have it, but if we ask for it, He'll give it to us. I believe the scripture says, if you lack wisdom, admit it. And say, I need wisdom. And He'll say, I'll give it to you liberally. And I won't even upbraid you for not having it. I think love is the same way. You can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't feel love here, but I'm asking you to give it to me. Fill me with your love. Oh, I had an experience that even thinking about it, it puts chills on my body. And I'm going to tell it again, because it had to do with love and it had to do with forgiveness. I had been through a deep hurt a number of years ago, and I could not get over it. And I had not seen this party in a long time, and I was at the Guthrie meeting and looked up, and they came in, and there was a voice. You know, Sister Cheryl said tonight that there's many voices in the world. There's going to be many voices that was going to talk to you. There was a voice that said, turn your head. Don't even look their way. And I did it. I turned my head. But there was another voice. And that voice said, no, you go and greet them. And I obeyed that voice. And when I stuck my hand out to greet them, the glory of the Lord came on me. The forgiveness was there. The love was there. And it's still there today. I didn't have to work it up. I'm telling you, it poured out on me. Even telling you, I've got chills going down my body. It was so real. That's the grace of God. And He has that for His people. Thank the Lord. This scripture that we're going to give you next, I feel that most of us will probably cringe just a little bit. And we'll probably justify it a little bit. We'll say, well, that's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is this. But I'm going to give it to you now. It is in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, and then I'm going to give 18. I'm turn over and read it. It's a very important scripture for the thoughts that we have tonight, and I trust that the Lord will help me to not move too slowly. 2 Corinthians 10. And verses 12 and then 18. Verse 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise." And if you skip down then to verse 18, it says, "Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Did you know that you must not compare your experience to somebody else's? You need to not compare the degree of your fruitfulness to the degree of their fruitfulness. Yes. We talked about degrees of fruitfulness too this morning. Some 30, some 60, some 100. We should not be as one of the disciples when Jesus was calling him to feed his sheep, and he said, "Well, what about this man?" And Jesus said, "What is that to you?" And so when you and I are tempted to begin to look at somebody and say, "Well, my experience is a little better than theirs," watch it. You could be lifted up. Pride could be a seed in the heart. It's a dangerous thing. Leave others to God. Take care of yourself. Walk in the light as you see the light. Allow the fruit to be in your light, in your life, to the degree that He wants it. Allow the fruit to be in their life as God so chooses. So it's the one that God commends. It's not those that commend themselves or justify themselves. And so now I want to give Luke the 6th chapter and verse 37. And this one can sometimes affect us when we read it. It has me. I'm going to just simply say I've had to be careful with this one. Verse 37, Jesus said it. He said, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. And condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. And forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." And what I see in this verse is we always go back to another verse that says, judge fruit. We can judge fruit. I believe that we have the understanding and the wisdom to judge the fruit in a person's life. But when our judgment becomes condemnation, we've crossed a line. When we begin to condemn people and backbite and criticize, we've crossed a line, saints. We're going to have to leave every individual with God. Pray for them. Love them. We have a job to do. We have a job to love those that might not be lovable. Did you know that your soul, is continually in your hand? Your soul, maybe to a degree, could be in the hand of the minister. To a degree. But the ultimate responsibility of your soul is in your hand.
That's right.
It's in my hand. I am to guard my soul. You are to guard your soul. You are to keep yourself in the love of God. I am to keep myself in the love of God. I can't make you love God. I can't make you do this or that. But God can. He has the ability to deal with us and work with us individually. He is a faithful God. He searches the hearts. Remember, one of the first messages was, He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. He knows me. I can't produce some kind of an excuse and say, this is why I am this way. He'll say, no. You're this way because I know what is in your heart. That's our God. So my soul, I'm going to give an account. You're going to give an account. Nobody else. Nobody is going to stand at the judgment and give an account for anyone else but themselves. And now, I think that this is one of the reasons the Lord has given us these little thoughts, the last few messages, is because we're headed to Monarch. Monarch is a different meeting than any other camp meeting. It is a national meeting. It is an international meeting. And people come there from all walks of life, many congregations. They come from other churches. They're not all going to look like saints that go to Monarch. Now, I call it a mixed multitude. And if we will have understanding to know how to behave ourselves in the church, we'll be able to come through it and not be affected. Remember that there are those that are walking in back of light, and they come to Monarch. And there are those that are walking and coming to the light, and they come to Monarch. And then there are those that are walking in the light, and they are at Monarch. And those that are walking in the light, and they know what the truth is, and they know the standard, and they know the standard of holiness, and they have their convictions, and it's based on the Word of God, and they could be tempted to begin to place judgment when it's God that is leading and knows how to judge, and He knows how to work. And I can trust Him to do it. I can leave it all in His hands. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Love the law of God. Keep it for yourself. Be that example. Be that one that will shine forth at Monarch in the services. A number of years ago, there was an individual at Monarch that asked that I would pray with them. This individual had been raised in the Church of God, had gone away. And so they said, I want the convictions of the doctrines for myself. And I said, we'll do that. I said, our congregation will give you that room. They didn't see anything wrong with wearing short sleeves, and they didn't see anything wrong with doing this and this and this. And I said, we will give you the space. I want to tell you, God's pleased for us to give space. So I came back to the congregation, and on Wednesday night, I talked to the congregation when this party wasn't here. And I told them, this is what I said, and I want to say it to you all tonight in relationship to the thoughts that have been given already. I told what I had said, that our congregation would allow this person space to gain their convictions for themselves. But, I said, you mustn't allow it to affect you. When you have one that is here and is not what we would call measured up, and still testifying and still doing this and that and claiming salvation, give the space. Give them time. Allow the Lord to work. But don't let it affect you. Don't lower your standard. That's my message tonight. Go to Monarch. Maintain your stand for the Lord. Don't let it affect you where you're beginning to reason things out. We have families that some of their children are allowed to do this or this. And they'll come to the parents and they'll say, well, brother so-and-so lets his children do this and this. Maybe the answer will be, you're my child.
Yes.
We don't do what others do all the time. Stand true.
Yes, amen.
Be faithful to the cause of God, to the convictions, to the liberty wherewith He has given you liberty. Don't make your liberty a stumbling block. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen.